Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Secret Club That Runs the World by Kate Kelly is a reported look inside the high-stakes, relationship-driven universe of commodity trading, a realm that quietly influences what people pay for gasoline, groceries, metals, and electricity. Rather than treating commodities as abstract tickers, the book centers on the traders, dealmakers, and firms that move physical resources across borders and through supply chains. Kelly explores how this fraternity evolved from tight-knit networks and family-style partnerships into globally connected power brokers operating alongside banks, oil majors, and governments. The narrative highlights the culture of discretion, the reliance on trust and reputation, and the blurred lines between logistics expertise and financial speculation. It also examines why the sector often operates out of public view, despite its impact on inflation, corporate profits, and national security. For readers curious about how real-world supply and demand meets money, risk, and influence, this book offers an accessible window into an opaque industry. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the hidden architecture of commodity markets. A central theme is how commodity markets function as a physical system first and a financial system second. The book maps the chain from extraction and production to transport, storage, and delivery, showing why traders who understand ships, pipelines, warehouses, and timing can profit as much as those who understand derivatives. This perspective helps explain why commodity trading houses matter. They connect producers who need steady cash flow with buyers who need reliable supply, and they solve problems created by distance, politics, and infrastructure limits. The discussion also clarifies the difference between paper markets and real barrels, tons, and bushels. Prices may be set on exchanges, but the ability to source, move, and finance cargoes determines who can capitalize on those prices. Readers come away with a practical mental model of how benchmarks, regional spreads, and bottlenecks interact. The topic emphasizes that commodities are not just investments, they are necessities whose movement can be disrupted by weather, strikes, sanctions, and accidents. Understanding that hidden architecture makes later discussions about power, secrecy, and profit feel grounded rather than mysterious. Secondly, the fraternity culture, trust, discretion, and access. Kelly examines the social structure that has historically shaped commodity trading, describing an insular culture built on personal relationships, fast decisions, and a preference for privacy. In markets where information travels unevenly and opportunities vanish quickly, trust functions like currency. The book shows how reputations are made through delivering when others cannot, honoring commitments in chaotic conditions, and knowing who to call at ports, banks, and refineries. This creates a club-like dynamic in which access to deals and intelligence often depends on networks rather than formal credentials. The emphasis on discretion also helps explain why the public rarely sees the people behind major resource flows. Many firms avoid publicity because attention can invite political scrutiny, competitive pressure, or uncomfortable questions about margins and methods. The culture is portrayed as both a strength and a risk. It enables rapid coordination across borders, but it can also foster groupthink, exclusion, and weak transparency. This topic helps readers understand how power can concentrate in a small number of intermediaries who sit between producers, consumers, and regulators. Thirdly, making money on volatility, risk, hedging, and logistics edge, another major topic is how commodity traders turn uncertainty into advantage. Prices swing due to geopolitics, storms, seasonal demand, and production surprises. The book explores how trading houses manage that turbulence using hedging tools, inventory positions, and logistical flexibility. Rather than betting purely on direction, many strategies focus on spreads and timing, buying in one region, selling in another, storing when contango makes it profitable, or moving supply to where it becomes scarce. Kelly highlights the idea that risk is multidimensional. There is price risk, but also credit risk, shipping risk, quality disputes, and operational risks such as delays and equipment failures. Firms that can finance cargoes, secure storage, and arrange transport can exploit temporary dislocations that others must avoid. The topic also underscores that hedging is not a guarantee of safety, it is a discipline that can reduce exposure while still leaving firms vulnerable to extreme events, correlation breaks, and liquidity crunches. For readers, this section reframes commodity trading as a hybrid of finance, supply chain management, and crisis response. Fourthly, banks, regulation, and the lines between trading and influence. The book addresses how commodity trading intersects with banking and regulation, especially as financial institutions expanded into commodities and then faced scrutiny after major market disruptions and crises. Kelly explores why regulators care, commodity prices affect everyday life, and concentrated control over storage, transport, or supply can raise concerns about manipulation and systemic risk. the narrative considers how trading houses and banks navigate reporting requirements, position limits, and the challenge of supervising global activity that spans jurisdictions. It also touches on how political relationships and policy decisions can shape opportunities, from sanctions and export restrictions to strategic stockpiles and subsidies. A key insight is that influence is often structural rather than conspiratorial. Firms that sit at the crossroads of financing, logistics, and market intelligence can shape flows simply by deciding what to move, store, or prioritize. That reality creates tension between efficiency and transparency. This topic helps readers evaluate headlines about commodity spikes with more nuance, recognizing the interplay of genuine scarcity, regulatory choices, and the incentives of market intermediaries. Lastly, real-world consequences, energy, food, and the cost of living beyond boardrooms, the book connects commodity trading to outcomes consumers feel directly. When oil, grains, or metals swing in price, the effects ripple through fuel costs, food inflation, construction expenses, and even political stability. Kelly shows why this sector can be both a stabilizer and an amplifier. On one hand, traders can redirect supply during disruptions, finance producers, and smooth distribution. On the other, the pursuit of profit can magnify volatility, and opaque practices can erode trust when prices surge. The topic also highlights that commodities are intertwined. Energy costs affect fertilizer and transport, currency shifts affect importing nations, droughts and floods can transform regional shocks into global stress. By linking market mechanics to household budgets and national policy debates, the book makes a case that commodity trading is not a niche corner of finance, but a key force in modern life. Readers gain a framework for understanding why a conflict far away might affect a supermarket aisle, and why decisions made by a small network of intermediaries can influence the price signals that guide the entire economy. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want to understand the world behind everyday prices, including business and finance readers, policy-minded professionals, journalists, and anyone curious about energy and food markets. It is also valuable for students of economics and supply chains because it connects theory to the messy realities of moving physical goods across borders. The benefit is practical. You learn how volatility is created, transmitted, and sometimes managed, which can sharpen your interpretation of news about inflation, shortages, and geopolitical shocks. Instead of viewing commodities as distant charts, you begin to see incentives, constraints, and the role of intermediaries who combine logistics know-how with financial tools. Compared to many market books that focus on stock trading or abstract macro trends, Kelly's work stands out for its emphasis on culture and networks, the human factors that help explain why this industry remains opaque and influential. It is worth buying if you want a readable, reported overview that bridges finance and real economy operations, giving you a clearer sense of who moves the world's resources, how they profit, and why their decisions matter to your daily life. If you would like to support Kate Kelly, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.